Well, I know they gave me an hour, but this might be just a little bit shorter than an hour, so we might have time to fellowship afterwards, but we could get into it. All right, the title's message, Good Tidings of Great Joy, Luke chapter 2.
Luke chapter 2. That's a good book.
Yeah. All right. So Christmas is not merely a story of a baby born in a manger, but it's the unveiling of God's plan to rescue humanity. It is the fulfillment of promises, the intersection of heaven and earth, and the beginning of the greatest gift ever offered, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. All right, I want to pray real fast before I get started. Maybe it takes me. Dear Heavenly Father, man, I love you, Father. We love you. I do thank you for this opportunity, Father, that you would just like the shepherds, Luke chapter 2, Father, that you come to the lowly, Father, and the outcast, and that you would use somebody like me, a sinful man, Father, to have the opportunity to come here and share your message and what Christmas truly means. And I thank you for your church, Father. I ask that you would just take the nerves, Father, that it would be you that speaks through me, that I could just get out of the way, Father, and let you do the work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, I'd like to go through, have us all read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 to get us started.
You want me to read?
Well, you can just read one and we can go around like we normally do.
Okay.
And everybody can have an opportunity to read.
Okay.
You can just start. I guess we can just do one verse at a time, I guess, would be all right, so everybody gets a chance to read.
The birth of Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when
Cyrenius
was governor of Syria.
Okay. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David.
Okay, right there I want to stop. Let's take a look in Micah 5:2. That's the fulfillment of the prophecy of where the Messiah would come from. So I can turn over there and read it. Micah 5:2. Yeah. So this is the first promise fulfilled in this passage here. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." Yeah. Oh, sorry, I should let you read that. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was trying to find it.
It was Micah 5:2. It's the prophecy that was fulfilled of where the Messiah would be born.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's the first promise we see fulfilled in this passage here.
I was still trying to find it.
I had a market, man, because I get spinning through my Bible. It's like, gosh, I guess. Yeah, it's one of the minor prophets. Micah 5:2. Yeah. Or was that wrong? I could be wrong. It might be 5:4.
You're right. You're right.
Is it 5:2?
Yeah,
okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's in the Old Testament, so I believe it's one of the minor prophets. It's up here.
So.
Yeah, I love my index, man. It's right there.
That would be nice.
So you got Micah 5, 5:2. That speaks of the Messiah, where he'd be born. All right, yeah, we're good, so we can move on, and I think we pick up there in chapter or verse 5.
To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife,
being great with child.
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Pat, you want to, Chuck, you want to try to read, or you want Pat to read? Pat can go.
Okay, I'll be in verse 8.
Yeah.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior.
Sorry, that was it. Go ahead, you can go ahead and finish that. That just goes right into my next book. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Which is a Christ the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. All right. Then we see the second promise here fulfilled in that, and that's Isaiah 9:6. Micah speaks where the Micah prophesies about where the Messiah would come from, and then Isaiah prophesies how he would come about. So
Isaiah 9:6.
Yeah.
Right here,
you
got it
tomorrow.
Isaiah
what? 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll go ahead and read, since we're here, might as well go ahead and read Isaiah 7:14. It says, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be conceived and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So there's another prophecy of the Savior coming. So there's some promises.
What was that? 7:14.
Yeah. And these prophecies, I believe both these prophecies were prophesied around 700 years before Jesus actually came about. Micah and Isaiah. That's a long time. So we can see that God does fulfill his promises. Alright, let's go back and I would like us all to consider just the humble beginnings of Jesus. Just to think about how an all-perfect God, a God left his dwelling place, and came down, into the sin-infested world in the likeness of man. What do you guys think about that? I want to ask you guys. I want you guys to give some input on that. How do you guys feel about that?
Okay, what was the question?
Just how God would leave his perfect dwelling place in glory in heaven, right, and come down to this world and come as a baby, be born as a baby, you know, just this humble world. So
I've been really thinking about that over the last couple of weeks, because every song I hear is about it, the birth. Yeah. And every time I turn on the radio, they're preaching the birth. Mm-hmm. And where I work, we try to save babies. We meet with abortion-minded women,
mm-hmm.
and young mothers who decide to carry, but they need help.
Yeah.
They need some support. And so I've been telling the Christmas story, and every time I tell it, I really believe the Lord is giving me more pieces. And so I told the story to a woman the other day, and I said, you know, God, we're in this universe. God is outside the universe.
Yeah. Yep.
He has to be outside the universe to create the universe. So he is outside. But he came into our universe.
Mm-hmm.
And planted himself as an embryo.
Yeah.
You know, we think about a baby being born, but we don't think about the whole process. An embryo that has the DNA that has the DNA of the father. The blood, it doesn't come from mom. Mom does not have, except for the egg, anything to do with that beginning. And so it was the father's blood. We have our father's blood. We don't have mother's blood in us. We never do. The mother carries the baby and feeds it through umbilical cord. But we have the father's blood. And so the blood of Jesus was God. The embryo, the beginning, the conception was God. And God was able to, that's how awesome and miraculous that he is. He was able to come in that form as an embryo and plant, and was planted perfectly in Mary's womb.
Yeah.
So as I keep thinking about that, I'm like, I just barely glanced over the whole story.
Yeah.
It's a true miracle. It's not that a baby was born. It's the whole miracle of conception and growth in Mary's body.
Yeah, it's hard to wrap our finite minds around it, because, you know, right here when the baby was born, Jesus is born, and then it also says the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus, you know, come to the shepherds, right? So it's just hard to wrap our, so how is he, he's a baby, but anyway, he's God, so I mean, it's hard to wrap our finite minds around that, you know, so.
Omnipresent.
Yeah, omnipresent, he's there.
And another point is, you know, they laid him in a manger, okay? In a manger is where they put, they're made of stone. These mangers are made of stone.
Right.
And they only put the purified lambs for the sacrifice.
Yeah.
So there showed Jesus' sacrifice right there.
Mm-hmm.
In his birth.
Mm-hmm.
They showed his sacrifice.
Yeah.
And they
showed
the humility.
Humility.
Yeah, humility, definitely humility. Yeah.
But you know, that was his, you know, that he was the perfect lamb.
Yeah.
Of God.
Yeah. So now that you bring that, I'll go ahead and bring it. So in Bethlehem, they raised the lambs for sacrifice in Bethlehem, the ones that would go to the temple to be sacrificed. So you have to think, Jesus was born in a sheepfold, possibly where these sheep were getting raised, taken care of, you know, because they had to be spotless, blemish free to go to the temple and be sacrified. Then you also think about, what I thought was really cool is that, you know, Jesus being the bread of life, and he comes from the house of bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. So that was just another little cool. Yeah.
It had to be that way.
Yeah.
The inn had to be full.
Yeah.
The manger had to be right there.
Yeah.
It was God's perfect plan.
Yeah.
Everything. He was one step. That was his plan.
Yeah.
And he prepared it.
Yeah. Alright, well, I would like for us to go to, there's five steps down from that Jesus took, that God took from his majestic throne, to come down to the sin infested world, for sinners like you and me. So this is in Philippians 2, 5 through 10. So I think this could kind of give us our answer, a little bit of the answer of what we're looking for, Jesus' humble beginnings here. So it's Philippians 2, 5 through 10. So I guess I can read through this passage and then.
Oh, I got it.
Yep, 2, 5 through 10. Okay, yeah, go ahead if you want.
Yeah.
Oh, did I say Ephesians or Philippians?
Philippians.
Okay, good. Yeah, Philippians. That's
so it's Philippians what?
2, chapter 2, then it's verses 5 through 10.
I had that backwards.
Yep.
Didn't make sense.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, 5.
Yep, and then we can read on through 10.
Clear through 10.
What?
Yeah, just verse 10, I'm sorry. Yep. Philippians 2, 10. Philippians 2, 5, and then verses 5 through 10.
Okay. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth.
All right, thanks. All right, so yeah, so right here in chapter 7, this is where the step downs start right here. So it said, so it's chapter 7, but made himself of no reputation. So, verse 7, yeah, excuse me, you have to forgive me. But, so it's chapter 2 and it's verse 7 in the same passage that we just read. So it made himself of no reputation. It's just he left his heavenly existence. So we see right there, God left his heavenly existence. He had no reputation. He came down as a nobody. He came down as a baby in a manger. Just humbled himself. And then we have the second one would be, and he took upon him the form of a servant. So we know Jesus come down to be served, not to serve. I'm sorry, come down to serve, not be served. And then we have number three, and was made in the likeness of men. Was made in the likeness of us. I mean, we can't say Jesus was without sin, but he had feelings and emotions like we do. He had to deal with feelings and emotions. Was like us. Came down in human form. And then we have fashion, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Which Jesus left his divine, set aside his divine privileges, and then of course he was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So I just thought maybe that would help us and give us an idea of his humble self. So why did Jesus do this? I mean, why would Jesus do this? It's because we find it here, because Jesus placed us higher than himself. I mean, he regarded us higher than himself. He loved us so much that he came down to sacrifice himself for us. We are that important to him. Yeah, he loves us, you know. So this is, and it shows it right here in verses 2, and in the same passage, verses 2 through 4. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love of being one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Each esteem others better than themselves. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Yeah. All right.
Did we answer that question? Why did Jesus have to do that?
The reason why Jesus had to come down is because we live in a fallen state. I mean, I just wanted to try to show a picture of the way that Jesus humbled himself, the way that he came down. That's what that was supposed to. I may not have got it's that just, across. But,
I mean, I'm just thinking out loud. We all have to answer that, right?
Yeah.
We all have to.
Yeah, right. Reflect on that. Yeah.
Understand. Yep. Because he came for me.
Yeah. Personally.
Have to question myself. Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's really good. I mean, that's something to ponder.
Yeah.
To take home and think about.
Yeah, right.
A lot of things.
I know there's so much, it's like it's hard to wrap your mind around it. It blew my mind.
One of the things that I've kind of gleaned from some of it is, you know, God is holiness. He cannot touch unholiness. So God could not touch us because we were unholy.
Yeah.
But through Jesus Christ,
made a way.
64:20, bro. 64:20.
Yeah.
Well, right. You're looking over somebody's shoulder. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's that answer.
I'm too sorry.
Yeah. We'd be expelled.
Yeah.
All right, so
you know, in other words, God basically said these people are never going to get it. They're never going to get it. Okay.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, but don't kill them. Don't kill them, Dad. Don't do it. Yeah. You know, he's basically says, I'll fix this.
Right.
And he came down. You want to put it in simple language? That's it. He came down to because he wanted to save us.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the only way.
Right.
It had to happen.
Yep.
There was no other way for it to happen.
Right. We can't do it ourselves. There's no other way for it to happen.
Yeah. A savior.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
That was born.
Yeah. Which that kind of takes me into my next point. Why do we need a savior? I mean, we're in a fallen state. In Genesis, it talks about that mankind's in a fallen state. Romans 3:23, we see that we have all come short of the glory of God. So we all sin, right? So because of Jesus, we can have hope that we can be free of our sin and receive eternal salvation. And that salvation is offered to the whole world. Let's go over to John 3:16. Yeah, 3:16-18. Yeah. Right. Yeah, we can read it.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen. Jesus loves us. Okay, so God's plan. So we see here that the same God who fulfilled his promises and sent a Savior is faithful to fulfill every promise in his word. He's not forgotten you, nor is he slow concerning his promises. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Yeah. Yeah. Chapter 3, verse 9.
Oh, I already got it even highlighted.
Yeah.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yeah, so I mean, we see that we should find hope in this verse, man. Because I know that myself took me a long, long time to come to Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? And we see it as though it took for the prophecy of the Messiah come was 700 years to now it's 2,000 years. And so we could put our hope in this verse that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to us. He loves us. He's going to come back for us.
So. I think of that a lot, Brian.
Yeah.
Because, especially in ministry,
yeah.
And every time, I mean, I get people and it's like again and again, they come up, they have excuses, they say this, or you catch them in a lie or something, and you're like, man, I just want to be done. And I think of that verse, and it's like, man, God saying he was long-suffering to me. I need to learn long-suffering.
Yeah.
Because God doesn't want any to perish.
Right. Not willing. Know? It's not his will. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right, so I'll read this one. And the next title, the next point of my message here is it's the proclamation of peace or the announcement of peace. An angel said to them, this is Luke 2, chapter 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The angel's message removes fear, replaces it with peace and joy. The birth of Jesus is a proclamation of peace. It is not a temporary ceasefire, but peace between sinful man and the holy God. And so let's go to John chapter 14 through 20. John chapter 14, verse 27.
John what?
Chapter 14, verse 27.
So
I can read it. So it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So we see here that this is the peace that, that comes from Jesus Christ is a different peace that the world can give us. The peace that comes from Jesus is not circumstantial. It's not temporary. Peace from Jesus Christ is an eternal peace that we get through Jesus. I want to turn over to another example. I'll read this one too. And then in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 7, and it says, "And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." All right. But then we also say at one time we were enemies of God. So when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're no longer the enemies of God. And so we got a free. So we get a personal relationship with Jesus. So that's also very important. All right.
Yeah. A lot of people think that when you come to Christ and you become a Christian, now you have all this stuff you got to do.
Yeah.
But actually, it frees you.
Right. Yeah.
You are an enemy, and you are bound to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it frees you. I like that.
The prison gates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good verse.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, Ryan.
No, it's all right. Yeah,
bringing up a whole lot of really good points.
Yeah, I want the input. So that's good. Yeah. All right. And so, if we are burdened and feel guilt or sorrow, the message of Christmas is for us. We can fear not. The Prince of Peace has come to give you rest and to give rest to your soul. Let's turn over to Matthew 11:28-30. And we see that rest and rest for our soul that Jesus gives us.
Matthew 11:28, verses 28 through 30.
Yeah.
I can read it. Yeah. 28 through 30.
Yeah.
It says, "And say unto him, by what authority dost thou these things?"
I'm sorry, that's not the verse I want you to read. I told you wrong. Matthew 11:28-30.
Oh,
that's where we need to be at. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
"All right. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Yeah, amen. So that means, man, it doesn't matter what we're going through. Jesus wants to meet us right where we're at, man. He wants our burdens cast upon him. There's peace that comes from that. You know, I mean, we can give everything to Jesus. He loves us that much, and he wants to do that for us. So it's important that we take advantage of that.
Brian, I'm sorry, man. I was in Mark. I didn't hear you say Matthew.
No, I told you wrong. I think I told you Matthew 28 when I should have been telling you Matthew 11.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sorry.
You did say Matthew 28.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did say Matthew 28.
Rewind, replay.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's at fault here?
I thought you said Matthew 11.
You did? Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's all right. We got it read anyway.
Yeah, it's there. We got the point across. So.
Yeah.
Instant replay. All right.
But
Josh,
that's how imperfect we are as humans.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, yeah. Our need for Jesus is important.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. You see that? That's a personal application there. All right. All right. All right. So we can see the power of the Savior. This is if somebody wants to read Luke 2, verse 14, please.
"The Lord God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Alright, so we see Jesus didn't come as a warrior or a king seated on a throne. He came as a baby, humbly born, to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19:10. I could read that one. You all know that verse, right? Come to seek and save the lost, I guess.
You said Luke 19?
We pretty well just...
I've got it if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is as lost.
Yeah. But yet within Jesus resides the fullness of God, and through him the power to save and transform lives. So let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's a lot of turning. I know. I'm sorry, guys. I probably should. I know. I probably should have added my verses in there, but this is the first outline that I really. Yeah, it's good. I'm kind of getting tired of it myself, you know? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. All right. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:17,
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new.
So there we see that Christ's ability to transform lives, and it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, what addiction you're coming out of. It doesn't matter what you've done, man. God sees once you become saved. God sees nothing but Jesus Christ in you. So
that's
I know, amen.
I die to myself every single day.
Yeah, I know that. I'm so grateful for that, man. That was one of the passages that I always hung on to. That I wanted to be that new creature in Christ. So
asking for forgiveness.
There's also a side we got to be obedient to, you know what I mean? They're saying we have to submit to Jesus. We can't just, it just doesn't, well, there's some, we have to have some skin in the game. So, I mean, we've got to also submit to Jesus and follow what he says in his word. So,
amen.
Yeah.
I wish you'd quit trying to give me lessons in patience.
Yeah, what do they say? If you...
No, I'll quit asking. Yeah. I know about it because I get it every day.
You know what? My patience left me a long time ago.
Yeah. Alright, so we see that there is no sin too great, no heart too broken, no life too far gone. The Savior who was born in Bethlehem, for the Savior who was born in Bethlehem. He came for the shepherds and the outcasts and the lowly, and he came for you and me. So let's go to Romans 5:20 real fast.
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where is the abundant grace in much more now?
Yeah, that's right. So basically, just kind of touched on the last point, man. We can't outstay God's grace, and so it doesn't matter what you've done or where you're coming from, man. There's enough grace for all of us, enough grace for you. So, all right. They came with. Okay, I'll read. So we can read Luke 2, verse 16 through 19. I can get this one. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph in the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told to them concerning this child. And all they that heard wondered in those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So this Christmas, come with haste to the manger where grace is found and eternal life is offered. So here's a little call to action. So we have think about Mary as a mother and closest one ever to the Lord and Savior. the God of the universe, the God of the universe. Then begin to ponder about yourself, some of the things that might be rolling around in her mind that night. Think of the responsibility that she had to carry, the Savior of the world and God of the universe around inside her. Think and seriously ponder that the fact you and I have the same responsibility to carry the Savior and the God of the universe inside of us. That's good. In our hearts. Inside of us, in our hearts. How shall we bear that incredible weight, and what exactly are we to do with that? So this year on New Year's, we are having an outreach to the Garden City community, to the Garden City Community Center, to ask many individual souls just how we are going to offer that incredible fact that is with us and help us to, I'm sorry, that incredible fact of our communities, an incredible fact to our community so that their souls can be saved for all eternity. Could you possibly ponder this with us and help us to reach out to our community and reach hearts and souls for our Lord Jesus Christ? So this Christmas, don't just admire the nativity, embrace its meaning, rejoice in the Savior who came, live in the peace he brings, and share the good times with great joy with all people, and live a life that would bring honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. Alright. I'm gonna go ahead and pray. If you guys don't mind, I just wanna thank. Dear Heavenly Father, may I just love you and thank you so much, Father, for the opportunity once again to just to get up here, Father, and share what's in your word, Father, and to share it to the class, that you would use a sinner like me, Father, that you would use an outcast, that by the world standards was just a deadbeat and a drug addict, Father, but you changed my life, for the better, and I just thank you for that, and I appreciate that with all my heart. And, I just ask that as we go out, to the rest of this week, Father, that we would keep in our hearts what the true meaning of Christmas is and what it means for our lives and for others. And I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Anybody got the last, yeah, are you going to go over the break?
We can. Yeah, you want to? We can. Yeah, I was kind of tossing it up and we can go. I got the quick answer too, but I was like.
Just to answer them?
Yep, let's do that. That's a good idea because I was kind of worried about how I'd be able to navigate that.
Here's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
I think we got most of them. Just
going to
get that very last one.
Yeah. All right. So where do you? Okay. So here we can go. So the promise of a Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Okay.
A Savior.
Yep.
Which is Christ the Lord.
Yep. And then the bulletin points underneath that is God fulfilled his promise to send a Redeemer.
Oh, to send. Yes.
And then this Savior is Christ the Lord, bringing hope to all who believe.
Oh, yes. We were close.
Yeah.
Twice.
See if anybody can answer.
Yeah, you guys want to try to answer them? Okay. That's a good idea. Yeah. So it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, blank."
Peace.
Yep. Right. All right. Man, you guys got it.
We got one.
I was trying to. Yeah. All right. The angel's message was one of peace and blank.
Joy.
Right. Correct.
Joy.
Yeah.
Well, we did that one.
We got joy. Down in our hearts. All right. Jesus came to reconcile blank with God.
Us men.
Yep. Mankind. Yeah, man. And they came with blank and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a blank. Got it. Yep. The shepherds responded with blank to the good news.
Wonder.
Urgency.
Yeah.
Salvation is a blank, but it requires a response.
Gift.
All right, the next one is the invitation to believe.
Huh? You got to open it.
Yeah, you got to open the gift. Yeah, and see what else. Right, just like Christmas, man. Fear not, for behold, I bring you blank tidings of great joy, which shall be to all blank.
Good people.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
Is it people or men?
It's good people. Good
the
people.
Bible would actually say good people.
It's good people. Yeah. I mean, this is basically right out of the... All right. So it says, have you received the blank of salvation?
Yes.
Yeah, which everybody in here has, I imagine, right? Yeah. come with blank to the Savior this Christmas.
Us? Maybe.
Come with?
Repentance. Thankfulness.
Haste.
Haste.
Yeah, haste to the...
We used that word up there.
Haste. Okay.
And then it says, this Christmas, let us glorify God for this unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. And share the good tidings with great joy with all who hear it. Yeah. Man, I appreciate it, guys. I was really nervous before all this, but I feel good, man. So what a blessing. So this was fun, man. This was cool. You guys made it really good for me. So
you know what?
Really?
The Lord got you through that.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah. Oh man, I know. I was back there before I started.
This was a good Christmas message.
Was it really? Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah.
And I bet you it ties right in with Brian's when we go in the church.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool?
He always preaches for me. Yeah. It seems like on this Sunday.
Well, he was calling me this week and getting. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't.
Remember the humble beginning.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I almost forgot all.